What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We're just a couple days away now from divisional weekend, and man, do we have some awesome matchups. I believe they're going to give us great battles. I don't think these games are going to disappoint. And I watched all of the wild card games. I just felt like I wish they were a little more competitive. Even the ones where the score was a single digit difference at halftime, still, some of these games felt really lopsided. So I'm excited for what we've got coming up. This is how I'm remembering it. The ones and the twos. The ones are hosting on Saturday and the twos are hosting on Sunday. And at this point, you may have seen some of the weather forecasts. I think cold is pretty much the order of the day, especially for the games outdoors. Now, Detroit is playing indoors, of course, at Ford Field. So Commanders and Lions don't have to worry about the elements. But at Arrowhead, it gets dang cold. Trust me, I was there for a game, actually a Big 12 championship game held at Arrowhead in December one year when I was covering Big 12 football. And I couldn't feel my feet at halftime. I was down on the sidelines for the first half and could not feel my feet and had to go up to the press box for the second half because it was that cold. So people who have been to games at Arrowhead in the winter, you recognize those winds. It's bitter. And I don't know that that gives me a huge advantage over Houston, though the Texans obviously play indoors. But just in general, Arrowhead's a tough place to play if you're an opposing team this time of year. When it comes to Philly and Buffalo, both of those teams are expecting snow. Yeah, let's go. The cities are going to be ready. So the Eagles hosting the Rams, who obviously play in LA, not dealing with snow on a regular basis. The Bills and their weather and their fan base that goes kind of nutso, even when, actually maybe more so when they've got the lake effect snow. It's pretty incredible. Now, Baltimore's not going to be any stranger to the weather. They've got their own weather. In fact, they've had games, snow games, of course. And the AFC North is built for that kind of tough. But I'm excited because for me, the snow games are delicious. Now, this is a girl who loves snow. I know it can create complications, but that's what happens in January if you're still playing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. You can find me on Twix at ALAW Radio and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I went back and answered a bunch of your questions from Ask Amy, so you have to check that out. You can always listen to our podcast. On Wednesday afternoon, I had the privilege of catching up with Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas, who spent the vast majority of his career with the Bills and who is still a Buffalo resident. So that's where I caught up with him on Wednesday. And I had to jump right in by asking him about not the weather, but the temperature, the pulse of the fans. Thurman, how is Bills Mafia feeling as the divisional round gets closer?
Well, I think the Bills Mafia have gotten really, really excited because, you know, it's a Sunday's game. It's at 6:30, so everybody will be able to witness what Bills Mafia is all about. And I'm sure they'll have some pregame shows about, you know, guys jumping off tables, you know, putting ketchup all up in their face and everything. The people are really excited, and I think they're more excited about the last time we played Baltimore up in Baltimore, we lost like 35-10. And so we have them at home where we're 9-0 this year. And it's going to be an exciting football game. It's one of those games where I think maybe the next day or two, it might turn into a classic.
James Cook has played such a huge role in the Bills' success this year, taking some of that pressure off Josh Allen, though, of course, his broad shoulders can carry it. What stands out about the season that Cook has had to this point?
Well, I think it's been the last couple of years. You know, he's getting stronger. You know, when he first got over and got the starting job last year, you know, he was in a, I wouldn't say a difficult role, but, you know, he wanted to take some pressure off of Josh Allen last year. And I think this year he did it. Even though the rushing numbers are not there, I mean, the guy had 16 touchdowns this year, which was unbelievable. And so I think he's gotten bigger, he's gotten stronger, and he knows, you know, coming into his rookie year, he wasn't a man. And now he's the man like he was at the University of Georgia, and they rely on him and his speed and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. And so when he goes, that means the offensive line is going. And I think they've done a great job this year of really run blocking and pass blocking for Josh Allen. So with James Cook, he's had an unbelievable year this year. But I think what has really helped him is that he's had some guys where he hasn't had to do everything by himself. Ray Davis has come in, and Ty Johnson has been a great third down back for him. So it's given him an opportunity to rest and get his breath on the sideline, and obviously to go back out there and make plays.
Speaking of Ty Johnson, Thurman, what was your reaction to that touchdown in the back of the end zone last week against Denver?
I tell you what, my son was like, that's not a touchdown. I said, that is exactly a touchdown, because there's no way that Ty Johnson would raise his hand and signal to, like, the referee that I got it. I mean, it was, and after my son, you know, saw the replay, he was like, yeah, you're right. He was like, well, you know, son, I used to play that position. I've caught a lot of touchdown passes from Jim Kelly, so I know what I'm talking about. So, you know, he's been a great addition to this football team. I actually just had a conversation with him yesterday and talk about some other things off the field, but he's been a great addition to this football team. And like I said, these three guys, the three running backs, and along with Reggie Gilliam at fullback, have done an outstanding job this year.
210 yards rushing against a Denver defense that was pretty stout this season. What does that say to you?
Well, it says that hopefully we get that number this week against the Baltimore Ravens. Because
right.
I know that if we can reach that number, that means that we have a really good chance to win the football game. But on the flip side of it, too, if Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry reach that number, they have an opportunity to win the football game. So with the Bills and their running game, and they have to have a controlled game like that again, because you don't want to give Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson too many chances. So if they can, you know, run the ball effectively and take some time off the clock, you know, that would definitely help them to victory.
Yeah, the only team that ran for more yards, of course, the Ravens last week with 299 on the ground, which is pretty incredible. This could turn into one of those games where each team has like three possessions in each half.
It could be. It really could be. I mean, it is going to be a physical football game. I think the temperature is supposed to be 8 degrees. And yeah, so you know what? I am so glad that I have been retired for about 25 years now, because I would not want to be out there playing right now. But if you look at both of these football teams, you know, the last time that the Baltimore Ravens were here was back, I think, in 2021 or 2020, when, you know, we were going through the COVID situation. We actually won a playoff game against them up here. So we're looking forward to it, to having a packed house here at the Highmark Stadium. And I think this team and Sean McDermott and the guys are ready to go.
Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas with us from Buffalo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You mentioned the cold. What is it like to play in that extreme chill? And it's going to be dark, probably wind chills. Yeah. What's that like, Thurman?
Well, you know what? It's fine, because you know that you'll get a check Monday morning. So
nice.
I mean, everything will be fine, but it's football, right? And, you know, you play in hot conditions, and not too many teams get ready. And that's why it's so vital for the Buffalo Bills, whether they get the number two seed or the number one seed. At least they can have an opportunity to play at least two games at home if they get the number two seed. And I think that's very vital for this football team, because, you know what, they live up here. Sean McDermott has them practicing up here in this type of condition. And we didn't have three of our best players play against them in week number four. Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, and Matt Milano, and all those three guys are back now. So, and hopefully they'll make a difference. And I told Sean McDermott, I texted him Monday morning. I said, everybody in the organization, including Bills Mafia, need to get an extra lift in the weight room this week.
Offensive linemen wearing short sleeves. Did you think they were crazy?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But, you know, I think after my first or second year, I got kind of used to it. I was like, you know what? If those guys can do it, I can do it. So I started doing it. And, you know, being a guy from down south in Houston, Texas, you know, it gets sturdy and I'm freezing. But up here, you know what? Marv Levy had us practicing in it. We were ready for it. And, you know, Bruce Smith, all the defensive players, most of the defensive players were going out there, no sleeves on. And so I was like, you know what? I'm a part of this organization. Why not join it? And I got used to it. And it's a mental aspect of it, too. When we would get like the Miami Dolphins up here in late December or January, and you see all those guys with 2 and 3 layers on, we knew that we had them right away.
Mm. Okay, Thurman, the loaded question. Who is your NFL MVP?
My NFL MVP? Well, I mean, I'm going with Josh. I mean, I know Lamar has had a great year, and he probably will win the MVP this year, but I'm going to go with Josh. But if it wasn't Josh, you know, I would go with Saquon Barkley. I'm a running back, so a running back hasn't won this award in I don't know how long. So, you know, I was pulling for Saquon Barkley to get 2,000 yards, you know, and break Eric Dickerson's record. So I thought, if he did that, he would have an opportunity to win the MVP, but obviously yes, they didn't let him play. But you can't take it away from Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's had a hell of a year, but so has our quarterback, too, especially losing Stephon Diggs last year. They say, oh, we didn't have a number one receiver, and these guys have spread the ball around. They've scored 13 different players that have scored touchdowns this year. So I know Lamar might win it, but I think before Josh Allen's career is over with, he will win a couple.
I'm not sure if there is a more passionate fan base in the NFL than Bills Mafia, though I'm sure many other groups of fans would say, hey, we've got a claim on that. But I know from my time working in Western New York, Syracuse, Rochester, Bills Mafia is something special. What would it mean to get back to a Super Bowl again, finally, Thurman?
Oh, my God. I mean, it would mean so much to this city. And I think with this football team, it's not so much that we get back to one. I think with the success that Sean McDermott has had since he's been here since 2017, you know, we need to get back and win one. I think that's the goal. I don't think Bills Mafia, this organization of the city of Buffalo, wants to be 0-5. I think it would be heartbreaking, but I think if they do reach that opportunity to get back to the Super Bowl, it would mean so much to these fans around here, because we've been through the jokes and we've been through whatever people want to call us, you know, losing 4 Super Bowls in a row. And I had an interview with somebody not too long ago, and they would say, what would it mean to you guys to win one? I said, if we win one, will we be satisfied with that one, or will we want more? And everybody kind of stood still and like, I just want one. I was like, okay. That's not kind of the answer I was looking for. I was looking to have multiple, but if you just want to win one, this town and this football team and Bills Mafia, we're ready to explode. There will not be a party like Bills Mafia if we end up winning a championship.
Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas with us from Buffalo, getting set for Divisional Weekend, another big opportunity for the Bills and for Bills Mafia. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know that there's a core group of you Hall of Famers from those teams, and the last time I spoke to you, which was a few years ago, you talked about how you're pretty tight. So how is the group feeling as it gets closer?
The group is ready to go. I mean, all the guys are really coming in. I think Darryl's coming in. Bruce is coming in. Will Wolford is coming in. So, yeah, the guys are ready. They know how important this game is to the city of Buffalo and Bills Mafia. We're one of the top teams in the National Football League, and Baltimore is right there with us. And basically what it is that we're all gunning for Kansas City. That's what we're gunning for. I give all the credit in the world to Houston maybe even having a chance against Kansas City. But the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills, these two teams owe Kansas City something, and I think that's in the back of our minds. Yeah, you don't want to look forward and try to look to that AFC Championship game, but this could be like the game of the year right here between these two teams. So I think both teams will be ready to go out there and put it on the line and see which one comes out to play Kansas City next week.
Thurman, beyond the football and the excitement, we get to talk about the Gridiron Greats and the ability to help some Hall of Famers and some players who came before. Why is it important to you to work with the Gridiron Greats?
Well, the guys that played way before me in the 60s, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way up to now, you know, they didn't have the million-dollar contracts that the guys have today. And, you know, some of those guys, after they finished their season in football, you know, that Monday morning, they were back at work. And so I understand how important. I've been associated with Gridiron Grace over the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years now, and this is my first opportunity to really, you know, be really a part of it. And, you know, it's all about, you know, helping guys, you know, medical bills, financial bills, and things like that. And I'm so glad to be working with the Gridiron Grace and Southern Recipe Pork Rinds. If you go to porkrinds.com to enter Fan Appreciation Day, which is February 9th, 2025, you can win two tickets to the Super Bowl next year in Santa Clara. You know, it's a great time for everybody to go to, like I said, porkrinds.com and the Gridiron Grace Assistant Fund to donate to these guys, because a lot of them are hurting. But you know what? I think Mike Dicker has done an outstanding job. Him and Ron Jaworski are really putting this out there. And, you know, Ron Jaworski, I mean, his party at the Super Bowl is one of the biggest parties there ever is now at the Super Bowl. And you know, all that money and everything that they do goes right to the Gridiron Greats. And I'm so happy to be a part of it right now.
You mentioned the sweepstakes. It's crunch time sweepstakes. So as someone who's a Hall of Famer and played in Super Bowls and some of the biggest games, what does that mean to you? It's crunch time.
It's crunch time for me when it comes to pork rinds. Now, I lost four Super Bowl, and I didn't really perform the way I wanted to perform, but I know at this point in time that crunch time means that it's time to give back to some of the greats that have played this game, some of the greats that are in the Hall of Fame, some of the greats that anybody would know. It's time to give back to them because they're struggling, they're hurting, but you know what? They're still human beings, and that's what America is all about helping each other. And everybody that's been a part of it are so happy that, you know, we can enjoy, you know, another year of this.
Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas, a lifetime Bill, repping Bill's Mafia, but also the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund, porkrinds.com for the It's Crunch Time sweepstakes. You can find him online at Thurman Thomas and also on IG at Thurman Thomas 3434. It's great to connect with you again. Really excited about this weekend's game.
Go Bills. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And all righty, take care.
I spoke to Thurman for the first time in person about 7-8 years ago, maybe. Westwood One, they asked me, they invited me, and they flew me to Buffalo to do a Q&A with Thurman in front of a room full of, I believe it was people in the radio and TV industry. It was pretty cool. They were all Bills fans, so I think they were Western New York and that region. And to be able to sit and talk to him, he's so gracious and really funny and tells awesome stories. Now, that was before the Bills entered this window where they are very much a Super Bowl contender and yet have not been able to get back. And a large part of it is the teams that they're competing with in this same window, the Bengals, the Chiefs, obviously. So will this be the year? The Ravens, they were a one seed last year. They couldn't quite get to the Super Bowl. Now here they are, and they've got an opportunity against Buffalo. And did you catch what Thurman said? Oh, the game between the Ravens and the Bills. This is the one that's the game of the year. He's assuming, I think many people are, so he's not alone, but he's assuming that the Texans will fall in Kansas City, and it'll be once again an AFC Championship game hosted by the Chiefs. Oh my gosh, how many times have we talked about that since we've been here on After Hours? 855-212-4227. It's weird because sometimes I feel like January is flying by and it's a blur because there's so much to do and there's so much football. And other times I feel like it's dragging just because it's been harder to get back on the overnight schedule. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your home at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. That's an interesting concept. I have definitely searched for cars online before, and I've also rented cars through Amazon, but I can't imagine buying one through Amazon. Look at Amazon as a full-service operation. Oh, so we remember earlier in the week the brouhaha, the attention on A.J. Brown for him reading a book on the sidelines. Now, I don't know if you all heard what Nick Sirianni had to say. So this goes back to Tuesday when he said, hey, I have no problem with it. I support it. Guys are in pressure cookers, whatever it is that they have to do to keep their minds right, to make sure that they're focused on the task at hand. So he was supporting his player. Also said, you know, this is not the first time he's done it before. The weird thing is that the cameras never captured it before. That's the part that I'm kind of surprised by. If it's true, I mean, Jalen Hurts said he never saw A.J. Brown read on the sidelines, but he knew that the book was there. If it's true that A.J. Brown has done this before, I am surprised that the cameras didn't catch it, or that a sideline reporter who, in this case, wanders up and down kind of looking for stories and also trying to eavesdrop in on conversations and get what tidbits he or she can. I'm surprised that no one saw A.J. Brown do this prior to this past weekend. However, whatever, I'm not going to think that he's lying. And if he is, who cares? He must have his reasons. We don't need to know everything, I suppose. But I do think that he's tired of answering questions about it because he was still on Wednesday having to speak to people with microphones in his face. What about people talking about your book?
None of that stuff really matters. I'm continuing to be myself. I'm not pretending. It's not a facade or anything, you know. So, you know, who cares who don't like it, you know? I'm a 3-time All-Pro. Yes, I'm going to pop my
something
shit. That's just what it is. That is what it is. And, you know, I do that for myself. You know, I don't care nobody. Like, I'm not a distraction, you know? So, most importantly, I go out there and do my job. So all the other shit, you know, it don't matter.
A little bit spicy. Mentions he's a 3-time All-Pro. Don't care what people think about it. Although sometimes methinks athletes doth protesteth too much when they say they don't care about it, and yet they'll go on a little bit just to let you know how much they don't care about it. It's similar to when I'll have a conversation here on the show and I'll post about it on social. I'll ask a question on social and people will take the time to respond, no one cares, or I don't care, or why are you talking about that? But if you don't care at all and it really means nothing to you, you wouldn't be responding to the question. If you don't care, trust me, when I page through social media, there's a heck of a lot of stuff that I do not care about. And I don't stop to reply, hey, no one cares, or I don't care. So I do think that there is a element of him being rankled by all the questions. At the same time, it really does not matter. It has no bearing on the Eagles. It has no bearing on whether or not they win this weekend. It had no bearing on their performance last weekend. I do not believe there's anything wrong between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. Their identity is run first. Ball control, and you control the ball by controlling, or you control the game by controlling the ball and running it. And with Saquon Barkley as a weapon and the number of carries that he gets and the number of opportunities he gets, of course, you are going to see the passing yards down. And I know Eagles fans, they protesteth earlier in the season wondering what had happened to the Eagles passing attack. And it's a good problem to have, is it not? When you have two great receivers like an A.J. Brown and a Devontae Smith, not to mention a Dallas Goedert, when you've got these guys and you can't possibly keep them all happy, and I'm using air quotations, meaning you just can't possibly distribute the ball evenly every week. It depends on matchups as well. It's an embarrassment of riches, and that's a good problem for Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore to have. Sean McVay knows it well.
This defense is outstanding. Their offense, we know how tough they are to defend in terms of the different things that they can present in the run game, how good they are offensive line-wise. They've got great skill. Obviously, Saquon is, you know, probably going to win Offensive Player of the Year. And he, you know, obviously we have a ton of respect for Jalen Hurts. And then I think Goddard, you look at him making a big play, catching a bubble for a touchdown and stiff-arming guys the other day. We're looking forward to the challenge to go swing, though. I'll promise you that.
I did love that Dallas Goedert touchdown. It was one of those exclamation point type moves where he catches the ball really out of the flat. It's as Sean points out, it was a bubble screen, and he's able to work his way through defenders up the left sideline. Stiff arms one dude, knocks another guy over. It was flexing muscles. It was like flexing on him without the actual flex. So there was some strength there, brute force strength. And you get that with some of these teams that are left because of their offensive lines, because of the way that they're able to use that O-line in a variety of ways. It's not just about protecting their QB. It's not just about setting up the run game. It's about, of course, letting receivers have time to get downfield and giving the quarterback options. And the more you can do that, and the more you can keep your QB upright, the harder it becomes to defend and really does tax the defense. So these games, you can make a case, or I guess I could. I can make a case for all of the games going the way of the visitor or the home team. And I'm believing that they're all going to be competitive. I'd have to go back and look, but I think it was 3 years ago that we had all four of the divisional round games. 3 or 4 years ago, Rams were included. Well, I guess it was the year the Rams won the Super Bowl. Might be the year the Rams won the Super Bowl. So that'd be 3 years ago, right? That all four divisional round games went down to the final play. Remember, there were some couple in overtime. Let me check.
Well, the Rams, that would be when they beat the Bucks, right? And that crazy one at the end with Tom Brady.
That was Rams Bucks. Uh-huh. That was divisional round. Oh, maybe it was the Bucks over the Rams, though. No, the Bucks didn't go to two Super Bowls. No, they just went to one. Okay. Let's see. Divisional round. If I can find it, if I can spell it while I'm talking, divisional round. It would be 2022.
I don't know how. I mean, that's January, but it's this 21 season.
Let's see. Divisional round playoffs. No, I don't want today.
I mean, that's the year that we know that the Bengals beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, and that came down to the wire.
Uh-huh.
But that was the championship. You're talking about divisional. I don't remember exactly how every game played out.
Let's see. I'm looking back.
That was the wild
2022. Here we go. Okay, so conference championships, Bengals over Chiefs by 3, Rams over Niners by 3.
Right. But the divisional, I don't remember exactly.
Where is the, that's wild card weekend. Here's divisional round. All right, here we go. Bengals beat the Titans by 3. Chiefs beat the Bills. Oh my gosh, that was the 13-second game. Yeah. Chiefs beat the Bills by 6. That one was in overtime, wasn't it? Because they went into OT. Niners beat the Packers by 3. Rams beat the Bucks by 3. So yeah, that was the weekend. January 22nd, 23rd, divisional round, what is now 3 years ago, three seasons ago. And every single game was still hanging in the balance on the final play.
Yeah, the Bengals and the Titans, if I remember correctly, was sloppy. The 49ers and the Packers was
but it
ugly.
Was a field goal. Yes, yeah, it was a field goal. Remember it was a rookie field goal at the time? Or, I mean, a rookie kicker at the time. He's not a rookie anymore. Mm. Remember he got caught on camera on NFL film saying, it's a good day to go to the AFC Championship or something like that. So that was, that was Bengals, Titans. Chiefs and Bills went into overtime. If I'm not mistaken, Rams and Bucks went into overtime as well. And then Niners and Packers was a three-point game.
I'm trying to think. I think that stopped them from going to overtime, but point taken. Either way, that was the crazy one where the Bucks came flying back. They were down big. They tied it. And then the big play, Stafford down the field, got him into field goal range, and they were able to. I think it was to avoid
30-yard field goal lifts Rams over Brady and the Bucks.
Yeah, I want to say it was to avoid overtime.
Yeah, it was. Okay, so Matt Gay hit a 30-yard field goal as time expired. You're right. They did not go into overtime. Mm-hmm. Let me look at the other ones. Well, we know Chiefs and Bills went into overtime.
Right.
And let's see, Cincinnati Bengals and Titans.
That was just ugly.
Evan McPherson. That was also no time left on the clock when he hit a 52-yard field goal, and it was the only points in the fourth quarter.
Right. It was a sloppy game. And the 49ers and the Packers, that was a special teams touchdown, if I remember right. A block punt. The only thing for the 49ers.
So
ugly game.
But it was a 6-yard return of a blocked punt. Robbie Gould hit a field goal. Hit a field goal with no time left on the clock from 45 yards. Yeah. Otherwise,
against his former club.
One touchdown for each team, and the rest were field goals. Yeah.
Awful. It really was. It was a boring, awful football game.
It's
on a Saturday
night. Knockdown drag out.
No, it really wasn't. It wasn't, oh man, this defense. But no, it was both teams were inept, is what that was. I mean, the 49ers deserved to win, but they were both teams were inept. And the Packers, that was the year that they had home field throughout. It was supposed to be going through Lambeau, and they coughed it up in the divisional round.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, good stuff. That was 3 years ago, and every single game was still undecided in the final minutes, which was awesome. Let's hope that this divisional round is the same, because I dig this round. This is my last favorite week of football. Yes, the Super Bowl is great, but my Lord, we talk about it for 2 weeks, and by the time we get there, I'm like, oh, please make me stick a fork in my eye. And then the championship games are great. I really enjoy those, but it's just two games, and then you realize it's almost done. So the divisional round to me is the weekend where generally we get enough drama that it's so compelling.
And this is the only one where you get the 2 days. Yeah, because look, Championship Sunday is the best. The Super Bowl is fun. Championship Sunday is the best because you have the two games, and it's usually a little bit more competitive. Although we've been spoiled because Super Bowls have been solid for quite some time now. But you're right. For 2 days, divisional round, that's where you get your last fill of really good football for two full days.
The Chiefs do not blow teams out, which is why we keep having Super Bowls like this and playoffs like this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even in the last... Look, because it's funny, because you talk to people that are a little bit older. Like, I grew up in a time where every Super Bowl sucked, and you were lucky if you got a game that was even remotely close in the fourth quarter. You almost felt like it was Christmas if the game was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden, things kind of flipped, and games really started to get a lot more competitive, a lot more fun. Now, if the game's not a classic, we all whine and complain. So it's gotten a lot better. Maybe that's the parity in the league. Maybe that's because every team is so much closer. Maybe it's because everybody's so much better media trained and nobody gets overwhelmed. I don't know.
Think of Super Bowls that were amazing. Packers and Broncos went down to the wire. We're still hanging in the balance.
Right. 97 was one of the best ones that you had seen.
But even before that, the Bengals-Niners Super Bowl. What year was that? Okay, so that was terrific as well. Look,
there's 10 years in between.
We had wide right. What year was that? 1990. Yeah, so there's a couple.
You named three. That's the three. You want to go back to the Bears?
No, but I'm just saying they weren't all terrible.
You had a 20-year span where you were lucky if you had three. That's the point. Every year it was garbage. The Bears were blowing out the Patriots. The 49ers were blowing out the Dolphins in 84. The Giants blew out the Broncos. The Washington blew out the Broncos. It was the same thing over and over and over. The 49ers annihilated the Broncos in 89. Washington, all over the Bills. The Cowboys, 2 years in a row. These games are ugly.
All right.
They were ugly.
The last Super Bowl.
49ers and Chargers. Who wanted to watch that slop?
The last Super Bowl party I went to was also really good. Cardinals-Steelers. That was the last time I went to a Super Bowl party because of work. But that was also one that was
great.
Just awesome.
2008.
No, I'm just
That's
saying.
Where we got into that, where it got much better.
Well, year before that was
the Giants Super Bowl with the
Giants
Patriots.
Was amazing. Yeah.
That's where we got into Super Bowls that were better. I want to say it kind of flipped roughly around when you mentioned it. That's the demarcation line, if you will, 97. Because the Broncos and Packers, great game down to the wire. 98 was awful. 99 was the
Titans. I didn't think it was awful. I thought it was amazing.
You enjoyed 98 because the Broncos won, but they beat up the Falcons, who shouldn't have been there. Then 99 with the Titans and the Rams, that was fun, and things started to flip. Then you had the Patriots a couple years later, and things started to get better and better, and it was blowout good.
Patriots-Rams was awesome.
Right. 2002 sucked. That was the Raiders and the Bucks. 03 was fun.
I don't remember that one.
That was awful. That
03 was Patriots.
When they beat the Panthers down to the wire, that was a fun game, 32-29. Yep. That was fun.
Jake DeLone
was decent with the Patriots and the Eagles. 05 was
Mr.
ugly.
Mr. Encyclopedia over here. I can't
these
remember
are the things
these.
That I remember. I'm sorry. But that again, watching these games, 05 was ugly, but it was close. 21-10 with the Seahawks. That game was terrible.
Okay.
Point is, if you go back, there were a lot of blowouts for 20 years, maybe more. And then you got like sprinkled in good games. Now, the norm is the games are pretty solid. Whether or not we get a classic is a different story, but they've been pretty solid over the last
however
many years.
Well, as long as the Chiefs are in it, we get classics because they don't blow teams out. They wait until they're trailing by 10 points, and then they come back.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, a new version of Knockout. Mama said, knock you out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Encyclopedia Brown.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, and we are creeping up on the division round of the playoffs. All eyes, Bills and Ravens. Baltimore took the regular season matchup in easy fashion at 35-10, but Josh Allen feels like this team much different than it was in late September.
I feel like we've grown quite a bit since that game. Obviously learned a lot from those moments. Going back and watching it obviously wasn't our best effort. You know, felt like we didn't play our best football. But again, they got a really good team too. That they're playing this week for a reason.
Meanwhile, Ravens also claiming wide receiver Deontay Johnson a week after he was released by the Texans. Of course, keep in mind, Baltimore cut Johnson back in December, moved strictly for the chance at a compensatory draft pick. Johnson won't officially be put on the team roster until after the Super Bowl. NBA Bucks put it all together against the Magic.
Dame's got four steals, by the way, now tonight. He's got it on the left wing. He's going to fire up another three, and it's all nylon. Damian Lillard looking like an assassin right now from outside. He's hit 12 of his 18 shots, all three of his threes, and I don't think he's touched the iron on any of them.
Part of a 30-point night for Damian Lillard. Bucks dominate the Magic 122-93. Call courtesy of the Bucks Radio Network. Elsewhere, the Warriors clip the T-Wolves 116-115. Steph Curry at 31. Knicks outlast the Sixers in overtime 125-119, courtesy of 38 from Jalen Brunson. Raptors dismiss the Celtics 110-97, while the Lakers look to LeBron to get back on track.
LeBron, follow a 20-footer. Good! Timeout, Miami. Laker lead is 9. 152 to go, and LeBron put this game on his back.
22 points, including 9 in the fourth quarter, to go along with 9 assists for LeBron. Lakers knocked off the Heat 117-108. Call courtesy of the Lakers Radio Network. Rest of scores, the Clippers route the Nets 126-67. Rockets bury the Nuggets 128-108. Hawks lit up the Bulls 110-94. Pelicans handle the Mavericks 119-116. DeJounte Murray at 30. Grizzlies too much for the Spurs 129-115. And the Hornets took out the Jazz 117-112. And from hockey, Edmonton dumped the Wild 5-3. Connor McDavid with a pair, and the Sabres, they double up on the Hurricanes 4-2. I'm Marco Belletti.
You make the call. 855-212-4227. When you want to talk to us, call 855-212-4227.
Thanks for keeping us company. Thanks for letting us keep you company. And now, Mama said knock you out. Now, producer Pete, sometimes we get into this and I get a little confused. It's called knockout. Does that mean I'm knocking out one of the options?
Yes.
Okay, so I knock out one of the options and I effectively leave the other options standing.
Correct. Absolutely.
All right, so down by TKO. So that's who I'm knocking out.
That's right. So we'll start in round one for a better fit with for Ben Johnson. If Ben Johnson becomes a head coach, where is the better fit? Chicago or Jacksonville? Who are you knocking out?
I'm knocking out Jacksonville. Not because I don't think that team can win with better leadership and better direction, but because he's really familiar with the NFC North. And also because Caleb Williams is a guy who has a lot of talent. He can make every throw. He is smart. He's already adapted to a professional life of football. People rave about his leadership, even going back to OTAs during the summertime. So he's a guy that just needs someone to work with him and work with the offense, and that is Ben Johnson's bread and butter. Not to mention, in Chicago, they're desperate for some type of leadership slash good news slash forward momentum. And I don't know about the ownership there keeping Trent Baalke in Jacksonville. Just, I think that is tough. Although Ryan Poles is still in place in Chicago, but I'm going to say a better fit for Ben Johnson is Chicago. So you're out, Jacksonville.
Knock you out.
Mama said knock you out, Jacksonville.
The Commanders upset the Lions, or the Texans surprise the Chiefs.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to knock out Houston surprising KC. Pow. And that leaves me with the Commanders upsetting Detroit. Not because I think it's likely, but because I think it's more likely than the other. And here's why. The reason is because the Commanders have made a living, as in 5 consecutive wins, just keeping it close until that final minute, that final drive, that final possession, that final kick. And then they're able to get the win. So I know Zane Gonzalez, that's a different story. It's their 4th kicker this season. But yeah, the fact that they are comfortable in these situations, the fact that their young QB is unflappable, to me, that matters a lot. I'm not saying CJ Stroud isn't, only that their offense has not been playing extremely well. So I think the Commanders, and still, Detroit is missing major pieces on its defense. I know they got Alex Anzalone back, and they looked a lot better against the Vikings in Week 18, but they've been giving up a ton of points. So it's not likely, but I'll say it's more likely, which means Houston and KC, pow, you're out.
Mama said knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry over one touchdown or Josh Allen with three total touchdowns?
Can I keep both? I feel like that's probably the case.
Would be a split decision. You can keep both.
I'll go Josh Allen with three total touchdowns, though I do believe that both of these are likely. So the complete opposite of what we talked about in the last category. It is probable that both of these things could happen, but I'll say Josh Allen with three total touchdowns. He's such a load, and he can beat any opponent a variety of ways, and he's going to need to score. Both these teams had terrific offenses this year, but obviously with the Ravens so good at that ball control game and being able to rush for nearly 300 yards a week ago, it's going to behoove the Bills to score every time they have the ball. But that fan base is going to be fired up. We just talked to Thurman Thomas, Bills Mafia. They're ready to go. So I'll say Josh Allen with three total TDs. So Derrick Henry, I'm stiff-arming you.
Who do you want on your playoff sideline, Dan Campbell or Sean McVay?
Dan Campbell or Sean McVay? I'll say Dan Campbell. Just not that Sean isn't terrific and doesn't have a ton of experience. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. I would say that their NFC West title is ahead of schedule, probably with that young defense following Aaron Donald's retirement. But Dan Campbell is something else. And this team is all on the same page with him, believes in him. They are adapting his identity to his aggressiveness. He's all gas, no brakes, and is their biggest cheerleader. And so Sean McVay's got a lot of energy too, but Dan Campbell, who doesn't want to run through a wall for him? So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about this weekend's game. But I'll say Dan Campbell right now is the coach du jour in the NFL.
And real quick, a team gets shut out this weekend or someone scores 50?
No one gets shut out. More likely that someone scores 50, like the Ravens or the Bills. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. By the way, do you know how old LL Cool J is? He just had a birthday a couple days ago. Do you know how old he is?
I would say 60.
Close. He's 57.
Okay.
I would not have thought he was 57. He looks awesome for 57, whatever you're supposed to look like at 57. Midway point of the show, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.